Talked about spiritual warfare. And after you have a war, you have to make peace. And what we talked about last week is people misunderstand what the battleground of our spiritual warfare. Last week we talked about how the Scripture shows that the war, the spiritual warfare we're waging, is not out there. It's not against other churches and other denominations and against false teachers. It's not against neighbors, and it's not even against family and friends. The spiritual warfare we fight, where's the battleground? Right here. It's in your heart. Spiritual warfare is inside. The whole point of winning is surrender. Surrender to love and treat your worst enemy like you would treat your best friend. The spiritual warfare we're conducting is inside. Now, today's lesson, after recognizing the battlefield of spiritual warfare to be our hearts, how are we supposed to see others? How are we supposed to look at other people knowing that we're not at war with people? We're at war with the devil within our own hearts. If we're reconciled to God through the death of His Son, isn't that what you read, Thomas? We're reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, the first thing on how are we to understand reconciliation, our reconciliation, is what does it mean? How many of you used the word reconcile last week in anything? How many of you used reconcile in the last month? Not something we deal with a lot. Reconcile, what it means is our reconciliation, what it means to reconcile. That's exactly right. Reconcile means to end the quarrel. Y'all ever had a dispute with somebody? You ever had an argument? Elsie? Surely not you. We'll just pretend that Elsie once had an argument with somebody. When you reconcile, that means there is no more argument. There's no more dispute. There's no more quarrel. When you see this person, you grab them, hug their neck, and you treat them like they're your best friend in the world. That's what reconcile means. Thomas, you understand what it means when God says you've been reconciled to Him? That means there's no more dispute. God isn't looking over your shoulder going, "Now, Thomas, you're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. Thomas, come on. I told you to do this. I told you to that." You know, God has nothing against you. When Satan stands up and wants to point at anything bad you've done, have you ever done anything bad, Thomas? You have? Really? This morning? Okay, I don't need any more about it. When Satan points at you and tells the truth, look at what Thomas did. When God looks at you and you've been reconciled to Him, what does He see? I don't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. You've been reconciled. What that means is God doesn't have any quarrel with you. There's no dispute. You don't have to beg to go to heaven. You don't have to barter with Him. You don't have to try to convince Him to save you. There is no dispute. You're done. You're in Jesus Christ. You're saved. They've ended the quarrel. God has no dispute with you or how you are. He just wants you to be better than what you are. Reconcile means to end the quarrel, but not just end the quarrel. You know, you can just stop speaking to somebody and end the quarrel. Right? Thomas, if you're having a fight with somebody, you can just not speak to them ever again and you've ended the quarrel. Have you reconciled? No. You have to bring harmony. Reconcile means end the quarrel and bring harmony. What does harmony mean? Peace. Harmony. What does harmony mean in music? Two things that blend perfectly. They go together. If you're in harmony with your wife, what does that mean? You go together. You're just peace and joy, and you go together. You fit together. There's no place where she's lacking. And she sees you, and there's nothing you're lacking. That's the final part of reconcile. Reconcile means to end the quarrel, to bring harmony, and to have nothing lacking in your relationship. That's when you've reconciled. Now think about, God says you've been reconciled to Him through Jesus Christ. Thomas, that means God has no quarrel with you at all, no matter what you've done. He has no quarrel with you. He's in harmony with you. That means y'all go together, and He looks at you and there's nothing lacking. Sound like good news? I like that. That's great news. That's our reconciliation. God sees us in this new covenant as no dispute, in harmony with Him, and with nothing lacking. Now, Thomas, what are we really like? What are we really like? Yeah. Remember, Jesus died for the ungodly. Isn't that what you read? While we were yet sinners, He died for us. So that means once you're reconciled, Thomas, that means you're no longer an ungodly sinner, right? That's right. It's His point of view. You've been reconciled to Him. The point is, what we're really like is we're still sinners and we're still doing ungodly things. We're reconciled to Him and we're trying to allow Him to make us better, to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. But when we're reconciled to Him, we're still sinners. We just try to let Him into our lives to be better people. We're in harmony with Him, and we're trying to reach God's nature, which is the nature of reconciliation. That means anytime you have problems or disputes or you're frustrated or hurt or irritated with somebody, what does your Father want you to do? Reconcile. And what does that mean? End the dispute. What if they don't want to stop arguing, Thomas? It takes two people. It takes two people to argue. If you're going to worship a God of reconciliation and you have somebody you're angry with, what's the first thing you do? That's right. You swallow your pride and you're not going to quarrel anymore. You're going to try to bring harmony back to the situation. And you're going to be put in a position where you tell the other person, we're good, there's nothing lacking. That's what God wants from His kids. Are y'all ready for this? Because that's the God of reconciliation that we're supposed to be worshiping. Have you ever wondered why God made people white and black and red and yellow and different languages, different cultures, different beliefs? You ever wondered that? You know, if God had just made everybody the same, we wouldn't have wars and all that. Why did God make everybody so different? Pardon? From the Tower of Babel. He made different languages. He made with different races, different colors, different creeds, different beliefs. Why didn't God just make everybody the same? That's true. And if He's a God of reconciliation, it has to be different. He's a God of reconciliation. The whole point is, He ends the quarrel, brings you into harmony, and says there's nothing lacking because He pays the price. Now, He wants to teach you that. How can He do it if everybody's the same? The whole point of Christianity is for white people, black people, red people, yellow people, different languages, different cultures, all that kind of stuff, to all come together in unity and harmony in the Holy Spirit. We reconcile ourselves to each other. Isn't that what Christianity is all about? What if there's somebody that walked in here? Are there Christians today that would walk in here and look at Thomas and go, oh, I think I'll go somewhere else? Are there Christians like that today? They call them. Do they understand God's nature? No. These people haven't a clue to God's nature. When you come into a church building, are we supposed to see languages and cultures and skin color? No. What do we see? God's kids. If we all have the same father, we all have the same blood, what are we? We're all the same. That's Christianity. That's reconciliation. That's what Jesus Christ taught. Now, if Jesus Christ comes and teaching this reconciliation, brotherly love, accepting people as they are, all the stuff Jesus Christ taught, why did all the religious leaders of Christ's day refuse to listen to Him? He's teaching brotherly love. He's teaching let's all get along. And all the religious leaders had nothing to do with Him, refused to listen to Him. You ever wonder why? Pride. They would not reconcile themselves to publicans and harlots and sinners. Jesus Christ came and said, we're all the same. Matter of fact, He said, you see these publicans and harlots and sinners over here? They're getting in the kingdom before you religious people are. Because they understand reconciliation. They understand. They want God to forgive them. When you have people that would not reconcile themselves to be like those they see as inferior, can they ever be a Christian? No. There's no possible way. That's why all the religious leaders rejected Jesus Christ. In spite of miracles, think of that. In spite of feeding thousands with, you know, a box lunch and walking on water and healing the sick and causing the blind to see and raising the dead, they rejected Jesus Christ. Why? Because I will not see myself as equal to those lowlifes. That's why. Pride, like you said. Jesus Christ fit every prophecy of the Messiah. Every single one. They would not listen to it. Jesus Christ spoke with wisdom they could not handle. They would not listen to it. The whole point was they would not reconcile the people they saw as below them. He came with miracles and the fulfillment of all prophecy and spoke with wisdom. But what he was saying is, like Matthew 5:43, you've heard it said you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what you've heard. I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. And what was the response of the religious elite? I won't do that. No. Well, why not? Because I'm better than they are. Isn't that what that person would think that walked in here and saw Thomas and went, I'm better than that. Can you think like that and be a Christian? No possible way. Jesus came along in Luke 6:27 and says, I say to you who hear me, love your enemies and do good things to those who hate you. And the religious elite said, no possible way. I will not do it. Jesus taught that those who saw themselves as the most righteous were no better than those they saw as the worst. And what was their response to that teaching? Crucify him. Crucify him. The idea is that instead of reconciling themselves to their fellow man, like Jesus taught, they would rather kill him than accept this teaching as being from God. Has anything changed? You understand why Jesus Christ is rejected to this very day? Because the message of Jesus Christ is reconcile yourself to your fellow man. And what did he say that means? I won't quarrel with anybody, not even my worst enemy. Paul, if you had like a knucklehead at work, where you work, if you had somebody that was just a complete pain and knucklehead and caused all kinds of problems, Christ says reconcile yourself to your worst enemy. Reconcile means you're not going to dispute with that person. Right? That means you're going to be in harmony with that person. He's a knucklehead. How do you do that?
I'm the boss. Do it my way.
You go in a business sense.
Yeah.
If he wants to argue, whoever has higher authority, you let them take care of it. You don't sit there and yell and point your finger. You say, this is what you're going to do. Well, let's go talk to... the whole point is you're at peace. You're in harmony. You're not going to buck and kick. You're not going to fight and argue. There is no quarrel. You bring yourself into harmony. And you find nothing lacking in your relationship. If he wants to fight, Paul says, well, let's go to the next higher up. And if the next higher up doesn't settle the question, go to the next higher up. Can you always appeal to a higher authority and settle any dispute?
Yes.
Sure you can. What's our highest authority now? How do we hear God? There you go. This is where our reconciliation comes from. People would rather kill Jesus Christ. People would rather kill the Word. You understand why Jesus was called the Word of God? In that day, Jesus came preaching reconciliation to all people, no matter what their culture or language. He was telling the Jews to be reconciled to their Roman oppressors. Well, no, we can't have this. We've got to kill this guy. Because that would be like the Roman oppressors, it would be like the master-slave relationship. And that Jesus came and said, Thomas, I want you to reconcile yourself with your owner. What? I don't think so. Well, yeah, if you're going to be a Christian, I want you to reconcile yourself with these Romans who basically own you and control you and oppress you. What was the Jewish response? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. We won't do it. God teaches reconciliation between us and him. And for those children of His that He's reconciled to, He says, you will be reconciled to all those around you. Love your enemy, do good to those that do evil to you, pray for those who persecute you. You will be reconciled to all those around you. People would rather kill the Word of God than accept that as the truth. And they crucified Jesus Christ. Bring it up to today. Thomas, would people still rather kill the Word of God than accept the idea of reconciling themselves to everyone? Do they still do it? You see how nothing's changed? If you're going to be reconciled to God, the first thing we have to understand is God reconciles Himself to those who are reconciled to His Word. You understand what I'm saying? Those who would reconcile themselves to Jesus Christ, they don't dispute with Jesus and what He says. Jesus says, those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. What do you say? Well, the baptism part. Are you reconciled to Jesus? No, you're not. You're not at all. Being reconciled to the Word means that if Jesus says to believe and are baptized, what do you say? Yes, sir. Love. I give you this command, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what do you say if you're reconciled to the Word? Yes. That's the idea here. In this day and time, God reconciles Himself to all those that reconcile themselves to His Word. Isn't that the truth? Thomas, isn't that why you're a Christian? You reconciled yourself to the Scriptures, to God's Word. Do you dispute anything in Scripture? Do you quarrel with anything in Scripture? Do you strive to be in harmony with Scripture? And do you find nothing lacking in God's Word? Bingo. God's reconciled to you because you're going to do what it says because you are reconciled to it. If it says, believe and be baptized, each and every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, what do you say? Yes, sir. Even in this day and age, do people call themselves Christian, yet they still quarrel with the Word? Don't they? Do people call themselves Christian, yet are out of harmony with the Word? Do people call themselves Christians and find that there's things lacking in the Word they have to supply? You understand why they're not reconciled to God like Christians are? Does that make sense? If you can't reconcile yourself to God's Word, which is where all salvation is, how is God going to reconcile Himself to you in Jesus Christ? It can't happen, guys. As much as people want to believe, well, you know, there's good people in every religion, Thomas. You're just one of these cement heads that think you're the only person going to heaven. I know what the Bible says, but I know in my heart that there's good people in every religion that are going to heaven. You're not perfect. You're not perfectly right on everything. Other people who aren't perfect and not perfectly right and don't believe like you, if they're good people, they're going to go to heaven. Right? Why are you shaking your head? According to your interpretation of the Bible. Well, you read what you want and I read what I want. You understand? That's the whole point of our reconciliation rests on one fundamental fact. You have reconciled yourself to the Word. You don't quarrel or dispute what the Bible says. You strive to be in harmony with what the Bible says, and you find the Bible with nothing lacking for your salvation. How many people fit in that category? Straight and narrow. Few there be. You understand why there's so few? Because God's Word teaches you must be reconciled to all those around you. Every color, every race, every language, every creed, every belief. You must be reconciled to your worst enemy. What do people say? No, I dispute that. Well, you reconciling to the Word is God reconciling to you. How will you be saved? I'm going to be a good person. Right? I'm going to be a good person. And I'll believe 99% of what this says, except when my common sense says it's obviously, you know, cultural differences and stuff. And then I'm okay, right, Diamond? I'm sick of talking to you. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You're just hard-headed. You're so full of yourself, you think you know everything, right? Or can you just read? Basically, that's what it is. First, above all other things, we must be in harmony and reconciled to what is written. If you can't do that, how is God going to reconcile Himself to you? Never happen. You've got to come to the Word with no quarrel and no dispute. God said it. What's your response? Yes, sir. Love your worst enemy, Thomas. God said it. What's your response? Yes, sir. God says, give generously, expecting nothing in return. What's your response? Yes, sir. You're reconciled to this Word. I come to the Bible with no dispute, no quarrel. I strive to be in harmony with what it says and not bring it into harmony with what I think. And I say there's nothing lacking. How much is missing in the Bible that we need to be saved? There's nothing lacking, guys. It's perfect. The whole point is coming to the Word, being reconciled to the Word, no disputing, no quarreling, in harmony with it, nothing lacking, and then understanding one other thing. When people were trying to trip Jesus up, His response, He said it many times in all three scriptures, all three Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but Matthew 22:29 is the one I'm looking at. They told Jesus something. He said, you know what? This is why you're mistaken. You don't understand the scriptures, and you don't understand the power of God. Now, He told that to the religious elite of His day. Thomas, what would happen to you if you went to the board meeting over at ETBU of all their highest scholars, PhD scholars, and you walked in there and you said, I just want to tell you guys something. You have no understanding of Scripture and you have no understanding of the power of God. What would their response be? Pardon?
Stone him.
Crucify him. You understand why? Because they're not reconciled to the Scriptures. Because they take the Scripture and they crucify it to suit themselves. If any of you walk in to people who are religiously minded and you tell them you have no understanding of Scripture and no understanding of the power of God, what's their response? Who do you think you are? Well, I'm nobody. What makes you say something like, well, let's go over here, let's read this. No, I'm not going to read anything with you. It's basically the response you get. But people don't understand the Scriptures because they will not reconcile themselves that it's the Word of God and have no dispute, be in harmony with it, and think it's nothing like it. They will not reconcile themselves to the Word of God, and because they will not reconcile themselves to God's power. You understand what God's power is for? Reconciliation. If He's a God of reconciliation, what is all of His power there to do? To reconcile. What did all the power of Jesus Christ on the cross, how did God use all the power and authority of Jesus on the cross? What did He do with it? He reconciled Himself to the world. What's God's power for? Reconciling, peace, harmony, the end of disputes. That's what His power is for. That's what 100% of His power is for. These people, if you walked in there, Thomas, to these PhD scholars, and you said you don't understand Scripture or the power of God, what would they want to do to you? And by what power? You understand what he's saying? They would call on their God to curse you, smite you, open his eyes, get him out of here. Father, I want you to take him down, but he tells us to all of our flock, he's going to cause trouble. God, take your immense power, take your power and silence him. Is that what God's power is for? What's God's power for? God's power is for them to be reconciled to you, who they would see as their worst enemy. Will they ever see that? They do not understand Scripture. They do not understand the power of God. If God's nature is reconciliation, then God's power is in harmony with that. That means love your enemy doesn't mean God's going to give you power to overcome your enemy. But what do people pray for all the time? What do they pray for? Help me conquer. Help me win the victory. Give me the victory, God, over my oppressors, over my enemies. Give me the victory over these false teachers and false doctrines. Give me the victory. Do they understand Scripture or the power of God? Nope. God's power, if He's a God of reconciliation, is not to overcome your enemies. God's power is to overcome yourself to never treat anyone like an enemy. Isn't that different? The whole thing is, if they understood God's power and you walked in there and you spouted off, you don't understand Scripture or the power of God. If they understood the power of God, it would be to never treat you like an enemy. They would say, well, Thomas, that's an interesting outlook. Why don't we all go out to eat together? And you talk to us and we'll listen. And we'll talk to you and you listen. And let's discuss this. Then you see the power of God. Is that ever going to happen? No. What are they going to use their power for? To push you away, to silence you, to shut you up. See there? They don't understand Scripture or the power of God. If God is a God of reconciliation, His power is to overcome yourself so you never ever treat anyone like they're your enemy. You always love your enemy. Love your neighbor. You always treat everyone around you with the best of intentions and with kindness, compassion. You understand what our reconciliation means God wants from us? His power is not for us to overcome. His power is to overcome us so that those who irritate us and frustrate us and lie to us and abuse us, we never ever treat them like the enemy. We treat them like friends. Now, wouldn't that take the power of God for something like that to happen? Yeah, but do they ever see it? No. If God's a God of reconciliation, and He says in His Word, and you're reconciled to His Word, love one another, then His power would never be to control those around us. That's not love, is it? How much does love try to control another person? Never, ever does love try to control another person. But how many elders and preachers and deacons, how many religious leaders and the religious elite and all those people, how much of them are praying to God that they would have control over their members? That they could control their members' attendance? You understand what I'm saying? These people will use, they'll resort to fear and guilt to try to control people, to get them to come to church, to get them to knock doors, to get them to do whatever it is that their ministry says that you do for God. The religious leaders who are not reconciled to Scripture, they do not understand Scripture or the power of God, they stand up and they try to control their membership. Christians try to control each other to go the way they want the church to go. Christians go out there and try to control the world so they can spread the gospel. Is that how the power of God works? Never, ever, ever. Love sets people free. Love doesn't try to control. If God's Word says love one another, and God is a God of reconciliation, the power of God is to control yourself so you can always treat other people as more important than you are. Wouldn't that take the power of God, Thomas? You walk into these PhD elite religious leaders and you tell them they don't have no understanding of Scripture or the power of God, and what would show you you're wrong is that say, well, let's come here and sit, give me a hug, let's talk together. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to make you the most important thing in my life right now because it seems like we are at impasses. I'm going to cancel my appointments and I want to listen to you. Is that ever going to happen? But it would prove you wrong, wouldn't it? The power of God, the Scripture, be reconciled to it. It says love your neighbor. It says love your enemy. If you're reconciled to that, you need the power of God to do that. You can't do it. And the power of God overcomes you, that you never treat anyone like an enemy. The power of God overcomes you, that you control yourself and make other people more important than yourself. When you see this going on, you see the power of God and you understand they're reconciled to God's Word. God is working. The whole point is, if the Word says love God, that the power of God, if you love God, the power of God is not to change the circumstances around you to make you happy. But what do people pray for all the time, Thomas? God, give me your power because I know you want me to be happy. God, I love you, so in exchange, since I love you, I want you to use your power to change these circumstances so all of my irritations and frustrations will go away and I can be happy. I want you to change my debts and I want you to change my job outlook. I want to change my co-worker. I want you to change circumstances and I can be happy. And if you do it this one time, I'll love you forever. Is that how people pray? Do they understand the Word of God or the power of God? No. If God is a God of reconciliation, the power of God is not to change our circumstances to make us happy. The power of God is to change us into children that make our Father happy. You understand the difference? The power of God, if He's a God of reconciliation, is all about no disputing, no quarrels. Find the harmony between you and let nothing be lacking in your relationship. If that's His nature, then His power has to be to overcome our selfishness, to overcome us, to overcome our pride, so that we will love our neighbor, so we'll love our enemy, so we'll love him and try to be more and more about into people that would make him happy. That's the way God's covenant works. That's how His reconciliation works. If you're reconciled to this Word of God, then you'll understand the power of God, because to do this, you need it. And if you understand the Word of God, and if you understand the power of God, how many times will you be wrong? You won't be wrong, guys. If Jesus says you're mistaken because you don't understand Scripture or the power of God, if you read and reconcile yourself to this book and understand God's power is to overcome you, not overcome outside, if you understand the Scriptures and the power of God, you won't make any mistakes. God will be leading you. You make mistakes when you try to do things your way. If the power of God is to overcome your own selfishness and your pride and your vanity, how many times will you do things your way, Thomas? If God overcomes you, if He overcomes your pride and your vanity, you won't ever do things your way. You do things the way the book says. If you do things the way the book says, how many mistakes will you make? You guys understand our reconciliation? It's to be reconciled to the Word of God with no quarrel or dispute with the Bible. If it says it, that's it. And if I need to study a little more, God will give me the understanding. To be in harmony with as much of this as I can and to be better every day. And to know that there's nothing lacking in God's Word. Once I understand this, I understand the power of God. To do these things, I have to have His power overcome me. I have to have it defeat me. I have to surrender to God's power and have it change me, not change my circumstances. Once you get there, once you go along this reconciliation road, you won't make mistakes anymore. The more you reconcile yourself to God's Word and His power, the fewer and fewer problems you're going to have in your life. And any problem that pops up, you're going to walk right over it with a laugh, because you know that God's in control. We do not give our lives to God to show Him what we can do for Him. What do they teach in the college over there? They say, give your life to Christ and show Him what you can do for Him. What does that have to do with the Word? It is the polar opposite of what this Word says. We do not give our lives to Christ to show Him what we can do for Him. God gives His life to us through Christ to show us what He can do for us. And that's completely, totally different. Now, if this is our reconciliation, how do we serve a God of reconciliation? What's the first thing you have to do if you're going to serve a God of reconciliation? No disputes. No disputes, guys. What about husbands and wives? You ever had a dispute with Lisa? Maybe once. Once, maybe. Long time ago when you were immature. If you're going to serve a God of reconciliation, what's the first thing you have to do in your marriage? There's no disputes, guys. Doesn't that mean the power of God is going to have to overcome your pride, your vanity, your selfish nature? You understand how this works? If God says reconcile yourself, then that's what we do. And if to reconcile yourself, no disputes between your co-workers, no disputes between parents and kids. You solve it, you get it done, you try to be in harmony with everybody, and you let them know there's nothing lacking in your relationship. And you will have to have the power of God to overcome your selfishness, your pride, your vanity, your fear, your doubt. And once you allow God, once you reconcile yourself to His Word and His power, He's reconciled Himself to you, He guides your steps. And how many mistakes and how many bad places do you wind up if God's guiding your steps? That's it. Now, do you guys want God to be reconciled to you? Where there's no dispute, He's in harmony with you, and He sees you as nothing lacking, as perfect as Jesus Christ. Is that what you want? Well, then you have to be reconciled to Him and His Word. If it says, love your neighbor, if it says, love your enemy, if it says, go the extra mile, turn your other cheek, if it says, love your enemies and do good to those that do evil to you, what do you say? I will not dispute. I will settle as much stuff as I can settle. I will be in harmony with as many people as I can be in harmony with, and I will let nothing lacking being in our relationship. If it takes a phone call to set this thing straight, Thomas, what are you going to do? I'm going to pick up that telephone. Once you do this, you have the ministry of reconciliation. You are reconciling yourself to the world like God did, and people will see the power of God overcoming you and guiding you into all the things God has prepared for you. Once you reconcile yourself to the world around you. Now, if God reconciled himself to you, Thomas, that means He accepts you as a sinner and it's okay for you to sin? It's not okay. Reconciling yourself to those around you doesn't mean you're telling them it's okay. It means I'm not going to fight about it. The power of God will take care of everything. You guys understand what the lesson is? The spiritual warfare is inside you. And once you understand that, you know that you're the one being overcome. You're the one God's trying to take down. You're the one God's trying to make surrender. And once you can do this and reconcile yourself to your worst enemy, to your husband, your wife, your kids, your co-workers, the power of God will be seen in your life. And people will go, what is it about that guy that he can live like that? And he says, you know, I'll tell you if you want to know. But then you tell them they have to reconcile themselves to their worst enemies, and they go, we're done. But that's our ministry now as Christians, to reconcile ourselves to the world around us. We're not going to fight, dispute, argue. We're going to try as best we can to be in harmony with all those around us. And we're going to let nothing lacking be in our relationships. And to do this, the power of God has got to come in and beat you senseless and take you down and make you surrender your pride and vanity and selfishness. And when it does that, people go, that's where God is right there. You guys ready to have a ministry of reconciliation? When you leave here today, think about who you've had a problem with, who you've had a dispute with, who there's something between you. Settle it. Find harmony. Let nothing lacking be in these relationships, and let the power of God overcome your pride, selfishness, and let His power work in this world, and let people see the nature of God. Everybody understand the lesson today? Did I say anything that was out of line, needs correction? Is there any comment on anything? All right, let's all stand up and join hands down the aisle here.